The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. That's great. It's something of a new beginning this morning as we begin our journey through the Gospel of Luke. So we've finished, at least in our daily cycle of readings, the Gospel of Matthew, at least for a time. So we're to move toward the end of that, and now back at the Nazareth Manifesto. And I think in the Gospel of Matthew, when we encountered this reading in the lections, we have actually half and half. You know, some you may have thought as we were going, where the crowds are remarking about the gracious words that come from Jesus' mouth, by habit, you might have been thinking, okay, he's going to stop there, right? But it's a beautiful thing that we get the whole picture today. It's very powerful because it helps us to interpret what's going on, one part and then in the other. And I think this is, I mean, one of the great ways to really dig into Scripture is to make sure that we, in our understanding, have consistency between the various parts of Scripture. So here, like where they're remarking that Jesus is speaking gracious words, we have to understand that against then what happens in the second part of the passage, where we see their violent rejection of him. So it's not like, okay, here's this unadulterated praise, and then here, like something that seems completely opposite. Well, we understand actually, and this is. Say part of Jesus' own selection of the passage in Isaiah that he gives us, is these words of grace is, say, God's being for the other. So Jesus actually, in this passage in Isaiah, he could choose any number of passages from the prophet that would speak of, say, Israel's being the light of the nations, and God's then judging the nations in order to, I don't know, say like make Israel's light brighter. It's not quite that way. It's to say in order to vindicate Israel. So, I mean, God's judgment is one and the same there, right? Israel is vindicated by his judgment and the nations are condemned by his judgment. But here Jesus is saying, not so. In the sense of, yes, God's judgment is coming and it's coming in him. But his judgment is one of grace. So as if he wants to restore Israel, then he's restoring them to be for the other. And look at what happens. They don't like it. They don't like it. Now, this is where it's challenging, right? Because Where are we? Where are we today? Where am I and where are you today? Are we in our own place, right? I mean, we're on our homeland. We want God. Of course we want God. But we want God for us. We want God to vindicate us. Right? I don't know if you experience your own positions, theological, intellectual, political, whatever. I don't know if you experience them to be precarious. If they're not built on Jesus, they are. If it's not Jesus through and through, your position is precarious, right? But do you experience that? And experiencing this vulnerability of, I'm not sure that I have it right or that I'm in the right. I want God to rule for me, to judge that I am in the right. And so I'm always recruiting him in my service, right? For my purposes. I want him to do my work, put his stamp of approval on my life. Not so. God has other plans. Lo and behold, right? God has his own purposes. Yeah? That's somewhat surprising to us, right? Because we might live our life in our purposes, like just for our purposes, and we have this very narrow view of life. And it might surprise us that the living God has his own purposes, and he's actually recruiting us for them. Now, he's recruiting us to liberate us from this kind of self-determined narrow view of life. He wants us to be part of his kingdom building project, but part of that kingdom building project, or the very foundation of that kingdom building project, is that he's liberating us from our slavery to self. And he's making us free, he's reviving our hearts, he's rejuvenating us so that we might love with God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when the living God, who has his own purposes, is at the center of our hearts and lives, then we untap this for the otherness that we encounter in Jesus. In our own little narrow worlds, we can't live for the other. We can't do it. I won't get into it. We'll be here all day, you know? That's my world. We'll be here all day. We'll just keep talking about this stuff, you know? But no, in our world, we can't do it. But in God's world, we can. In God's world, we can. And we see it in Jesus here. I mean, if you want to, there are so many beautiful things going on in this passage. You can go back and look. Actually, the section previous to this is the temptation in the wilderness, right? Go and see even the temptations, right? The devil saying, throw yourself down. And then here, the people drive Jesus to the edge of the brow to throw him down. Right, and then you can see that also playing out, it's a different gospel, but the passage we had yesterday and the temptations and how Jesus is overcoming them and the rest. No, he's setting course here. This is a Nazareth manifesto, right? This is Jesus. This is who he is. It's who he intends to be. It's who he intends to be for them, for his own people. And everything else follows from here. Everything else follows. Jesus is revealing who God is. You ever have people ask you that question? Maybe they don't. Maybe they should. Maybe you should live such that they ask you the question, who is God? Who is God? And if your answer has nothing to do with Jesus hanging on a tree, then you've not gone far enough. Because he's revealing who God is to us. And he's inviting us into the same mystery. He's inviting us to take up our share there, to be claimed by God, to be set free by him, and to be set about on his mission. Bringing his love to life, the love that we see there on the cross, the love that we see and experience there in the tabernacle, right? The love that gives itself to us, right, under the appearance of bread and wine. This is love in the extreme. But don't forget, it's love for the other. We're always about this self-justifying project. Right? Shoring ourselves up, shoring up our foundation, trying to be safe, secure, and all the rest. My friends, it's about the other. Don't forget it. We have to live totally for God. And living totally for God, we will give ourselves away in His service for the good of anyone that He causes to cross our path.